Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, October 18th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Drew Smith. Drew and his wife Megan and their little girls Stuart Ann are active at Mountain Brook Baptist, and I can't wait for Drew to tell you a little bit more about how he got connected with Mountain Brook Baptist and about his faith story at the end of the podcast. But first, Drew will read God's word for us. Thank you, Drew, for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Today's reading is from 2 Chronicles 20 in the New International Version. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, with some of the Meunites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is, in Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.' But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance? O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites tribe and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barak, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Barak to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. The fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel, and the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side.
Thank you so much, Drew, for joining the podcast and for reading for us today. We want to know a little bit more about you. Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in a small town called Leroy, Alabama. It's about 45 minutes north of Mobile.
Okay, and what brought you to Birmingham?
So went to school at Alabama, and the first job after school was in Birmingham. So that's what brought me here from Tuscaloosa.
Okay, let's back up to Leroy. Isn't there like a wonderful steakhouse there?
It is not in Leroy. Okay. It is in Thomasville, not far down the road. Leroy doesn't even have a red light, so there's not much in the way of restaurants there, but there is Big Mike's in Thomasville.
Big Mike's. Now, do you have siblings?
I do. I have one sister, Whitney. She lives in Tuscaloosa with her family.
Okay, and tell me a little bit about your parents.
Yeah, so my mom and dad, David and Julie, they both live now in Mobile. About 4 or 5 years ago, they moved from Leroy and built a new house in Mobile, so don't even get to Leroy much anymore, even though I still have family there.
What was your first job when you came to Birmingham?
So while I was looking for a job using my degree, I went to work at Allen Edmonds selling shoes at the Summit.
Well, how was that?
Interesting. Interesting. The shoes were not inexpensive. So not a lot of traffic came through, which gave me plenty of time to apply for other jobs. So did that, but met plenty of interesting people.
Speaking of meeting someone, where did you meet your wife, Megan, along the way? And tell me a little bit about Stuart Ann as well.
Yeah, so Megan and I met in Tuscaloosa. We were both finished with school. Interestingly enough, we had actually lived in the same apartment complex for a couple of years.
Never knew each other?
Never knew each other. I could have underhanded a baseball from my apartment to her apartment, and I don't know that I ever even saw her or paid attention if I did, which at the time, we were probably in different stages of life. So
the Lord knew that you needed a little time before you met her.
That's exactly right. So yeah, Megan and I met in Tuscaloosa after school. She also went to Alabama. And after I got the job in Birmingham, she was working in Tuscaloosa and convinced her to move to Birmingham as well. And here we are, married 9 years later, got married here at Mountain Brook Baptist. And we have a almost 2-year-old, Stuart Ann, who's in daycare at Mountain Brook Baptist as well.
What are some of your hobbies and interests?
So the main thing is I like to golf. So spend as much time as I can golfing. Now, with a young daughter, the time spent golfing compared to what it used to be is much less. But I also really love to cook. And so I do all of the cooking at our house. A lot of Sundays, on Sunday nights, I'll do some kind of pasta that's homemade that takes hours to cook.
Wait a minute. You make the pasta?
I can make the pasta, yes.
How did you get into cooking?
It's a good question. I guess when I moved to college, I was used to my mom and dad cooking and eating well. And so I kind of figured out, like, if I'm going to eat well in college and continue eating things that I enjoy, I'm probably going to need to learn how to cook them myself. And so I self-taught, have lots of cookbooks.
I was about to say, do you use cookbooks or you kind of play with it?
I don't play with it. I'm not the most creative person in the world. I'm kind of a in-the-box thinker. So I use other people's recipes that sound good to me. And I may tweak them a little bit. I like spice being from South Alabama. So I tend to play with the spice level in food a little more.
What is one of Megan's favorite things that you cook?
Ooh, that's a good question. Lately, we've been making this lemony, garlic, mushroom orzo pasta. That's a bunch of sauteed mushrooms. Every now and then, we'll put some chicken in there, heavy cream, simmer it in a bunch of garlic,
toss it together. Well, now I'm hungry. It's great. That sounds delicious. I would like to transition in conversation because I want to hear about your faith. How did you come to faith in Jesus?
Yeah, so I grew up in a Southern Baptist church in Leroy. I was there pretty much any time the doors were open. That was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesdays. My parents, my dad was a deacon in the church. Mom was a Sunday school teacher. They taught the youth pretty much from the time I can remember as a kid through my time in the youth. And so was just raised in the church. It was something that was always part of my life. I probably realized what I was doing and what I needed to do in terms of my faith and accepting Christ when I was a young teenager, I think 14 years old, and it was at church camp, as probably a lot of other people do that grow up in the church, and then came home and went in front of the church, was already a member, obviously, but, you know, officially joined the church and profess my belief in Christ.
You mentioned your home church. Wayne went to preach at your home church one time years ago. Remind me of that experience.
Yeah, so it's been years ago now, so long that I don't remember what year it was. It's funny how time flies, but our pastor that I grew up with, Brother James Watkins, he was from the Birmingham area. He had been at our church for probably 25 or 30 years, had decided to leave and go to Clanton to preach at, I believe, First Baptist Church of Clanton. And so as our church at home was going through the process of searching for their new pastor, my parents, who had visited Mountain Brook and had gotten to know Wayne, asked if Wayne would be interested in coming and speaking at our church. And Wayne so graciously obliged. And so myself, Wayne, and Webb made the 2.5-hour trek from Birmingham down to Leroy, stopped at Big Mike's Steakhouse to have dinner, and Wayne preached that Sunday at our church at home.
I remember him talking about how beautiful it was to hear everyone singing. Tell me about the culture of your church.
Yeah, I mentioned the town that I grew up in is very small. There's no red light there, like I mentioned earlier. But we have a really strong congregation at home. So in this small community, we probably have 300 to 350 members that are in church every single Sunday. It's crazy to think about in this little town of less than 1,000 people that we had to go to two services at one point because we had gotten so busy and big. We had to create a new sanctuary. But yeah, it's a church that is filled with the Spirit. People aren't scared to talk about God. They live it. And we sing out of the Southern Baptist hymnal, but we tend to sing uplifting and upbeat songs. And so that can certainly make it fun.
We have also talked about the fact that you have experienced positive fellowship at Mountain Brook Baptist. What do you like about the church and how did you get involved?
Yeah, so there's two things that stand out to me in terms of fellowship in this church. The first was really how we got to this church. In the short 2-3 months that I worked at Allen Edmonds, I met a gentleman by the name of Steve Morton, who unfortunately is no longer with us, but an older gentleman who invited me to visit the church. Megan and I were looking for a home church around Birmingham, and so we came and visited the traditional service. Had he not stayed on me coming to visit the traditional service at probably 24 years old, I don't know that we would have come back, but he really stayed on me to come back to meet Wayne. So came back, came and visited the contemporary service, and he really stayed on me to get involved in the church. So that was great. The second thing is we have our small groups. So I think I was part of one of the original small groups in the church, and I'm now part of what we jokingly but also seriously call the Bob Baker Growth Group. So Bob and about 6 or 7 of us have been in the same growth group now for a couple of years. It really promotes that sense of trust between everybody. We've really gotten to know each other, and everybody's comfortable to talk about things that maybe they wouldn't talk about in their Sunday school class or elsewhere. That has been super positive, and it helps me with the things that we study stay in the Lord's Word every day, or at least most days.
What days do you guys meet, and do you meet in person or via Zoom, and what's the dynamic?
Yeah, so we meet on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. and we meet virtually currently. We have been doing that since COVID, but we are looking to start getting back together in person maybe once a month. With it being 8 o'clock, it's late, so to meet in person can be a little difficult with it being that late, and lots of people in our group are in a similar stage of life as us in that we've got small kids, so that's around bedtime. It makes it easy to do it on Zoom, but we are planning to do it in person some as well.
What are you guys studying right now?
So currently we're reading through the New City Catechisms, and we are looking at two questions each week.
What are some of the challenges that you are experiencing in these days, and how is the Lord meeting you in that place?
Yeah, so I think for me as a fairly new dad, it is, how do I raise my daughter, Stuart Ann, so that she will know and love God? That's something that I struggle with. I say struggle with, just something that I think about a lot. So what are the things that I can do, you know, in my daily life that she sees? So one of the things that we do is we try and pray on the way to daycare every day. So I bring Stuart Ann to daycare every day of the week, and we'll do a short prayer. She probably doesn't understand what we're saying, but I think it's a good habit to get in with her.
That's beautiful. Can you tell me a little bit about the prayer, what you guys say together?
Yeah, so it's thank you for this day, basically. Thanks for keeping all the family safe. And we name my parents, my sister, her husband, Megan and I, Stuart Ann, their kids. So we make sure to name each one of them individually. And we pray that everybody is safe throughout their day and that each day that we're living to God's glory.
And so as you're saying the prayer, is she babbling along? Is she at a stage where she's talking a lot? How's that going?
She is talking. Every day it seems like we can understand more and more. She loves to say amen. So when we finish and I say amen, she likes to, you know, yell her amen as well.
I love it. I wish we could hear her praying in the car with you. Before we end the podcast, I'd like to know if you have any comments on the passage. We are talking about different prayers of the Bible. And so, of course, this includes Jehoshaphat's prayer.
Yeah, so there are two things that stuck out to me when I was reading this passage. So the first one was about halfway through, it says that this is not your battle, for God will be with you. So, you know, that just reminds me that God is with us in the toughest times. And there's a lot of that going on right now in terms of hurricanes that are going on. That's tough on everyone. And then the second thing that I thought was interesting was when Jehoshaphat said that he was going to send out a few people to go to the front of the battlefield when they were on their way to war to sing and give praise to the Lord. I can't imagine that if I were walking out on a battlefield that I would be thinking about singing and giving praises to the Lord in such a stressful situation, but it makes me think that that's probably the times most when we should really be reaching out to the Lord.
Yes, that part of the passage stood out to me as well. Would you reread for us that little section?
Sure. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing of the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever."
Since you and Megan got involved 10 years ago, one thing that I've noticed is that you're very active in serving. What are some of the ways that you and Megan serve?
Yeah, so Megan is currently one of the GA's teachers. She's been doing that for several years. And then this is my first year not teaching RAs in probably seven-ish years. I started helping Wayne, and I saw a group go literally through first all the way through sixth grade into middle school, some of which are now in high school. So was really involved doing that and really enjoyed it. And then I am on the missions committee, so I kind of serve as the head of our local missions. And then for many years, I was the chair or president of the Family Promise of Birmingham and served as Mountain Brook's board member there. And then Megan and I are both associate deacons in the church.
You guys are also involved in a Sunday morning Bible study. Tell me a little bit about that.
We are in the Foundations class that is going to be led by Luke Montgomery, Caleb Haynes, Charles Ponder, and Tripp Watson. So we've recently moved to that class as we've gotten older and have really enjoyed it. Lots of people in similar walks of life, but also some people that have older kids that is helpful when, you know, they've gone through the things that we're going through now and have good advice in terms of what are the things that help them. We really spend a good amount of time in the Word each week, but it's helpful from a practicality standpoint to be around people that have gone through the things that we're going through now.
Drew, thank you so much for joining the podcast and for reading for us today. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Sure. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, God. Dear God, we pray thanking you for the grace that you bestow upon each of us, Lord. I pray asking you that you'll be with all the people in Florida and North Carolina that have been devastated, their lives turned upside down by Hurricanes Milton and Hurricanes Helene. Dear Lord, I pray asking you, God, that we would set our sight upon you, that each day we would live to glorify your name. Pray asking you, God, that you'll watch over us, protect us. In your name we pray. Amen.